Brazil is reeling from a riot in the country's capital, Brasilia. On Sunday, protesters forced their way into Brazil's presidential palace, Congress, and Supreme Court buildings. They were calling for the removal of the country's new president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, known as Lula. Last fall, Lula narrowly defeated former President Jair Bolsonaro. About 1,500 protesters were arrested, and Lula is vowing to punish those responsible. On Monday, he said his government would not let democracy slip. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Tuesday, January 10th. Coming up on the show, the storming of the Brazilian capital.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. They have reskilling courses and career tools to help your income live as long as you do. The younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
In October, Brazil held elections. The main contenders were the incumbent, Bolsonaro, and Lula, who had previously served two terms as president. Here's our colleague, Luciana Magalhães.
They were very different candidates. Lula is a more center, left-wing person, very concerned about social issues, while Bolsonaro is a right-wing politician with links to the military. He had different policies from Lula.
Right. They were sort of political opposites.
Yes, especially when we talk about social issues. Definitely Lula is and was much more concerned about the poor than Bolsonaro. Many people in Brazil consider Bolsonaro to be the candidate of the rich and Lula the candidate of the poor.
It was a tight race. Lula won by a margin of less than 1%.
Bolsonaro was definitely surprised. They were very close. Bolsonaro had about 58 million votes. Lula had about 60 million votes. So it was a very difficult election. Bolsonaro didn't talk for days. Even before the election, he was questioning the electronic ballots. We have electronic ballots for quite some time. And there is no evidence that there has ever been a problem or fraud related to this kind of system. Before the election, he started saying that he didn't trust, he wanted elections on paper again instead of electronic ballots. So his questioning started even before the election. After the election, he didn't say much.
While Bolsonaro kept quiet in the weeks after the election, some of his supporters began to gather at military bases around the country, particularly in the capital city of Brasilia.
These bases were like spread all over the country, and basically what they wanted was military intervention. They didn't want Lula to be president for a number of reasons. One, many said that the election was fraudulent, even though there was no evidence at all that this has happened. They said that Lula was involved in corruption.
Lula was convicted of corruption in 2017, though he says he was innocent. He was sentenced to almost a decade in prison, but was later released on a technicality.
So that's why some of those people said they didn't accept him as a president because due to his involvement or alleged involvement in corruption.
As the country prepared for Lula's inauguration on January 1st, law enforcement officials found something disturbing.
Just around Christmas, police discovered a truck with a bomb. And this is still under investigation, but it seems it was a right-wing person who wanted to explode this truck ahead of inauguration. This was caught before anyone got hurt. But this raised concerns in Brazil.
And where was Bolsonaro at this point?
Just before Lula took office, was sworn in, he flew to the United States, where he currently is in Orlando. Before leaving, Bolsonaro did a live on Facebook to his supporters. And during this live, he said that he did not agree with acts of terrorism or destruction, that this should not, that opposition should be a rational opposition, but not an opposition of violence and crime. So he did say that he did not agree with that.
Tell us about Lula's inauguration. What was that day like?
So Lula's inauguration, they tried to create a system to make it as safe as possible. People were checked to get close to the presidential palace, and there were a lot of military polices, areas that were closed. I was here that day, and I did feel very safe because of all the measures they took. A lot of people came from several Brazilian states, and there was music close to the palace, shows, like music shows all day. And people who support Lula, the half of the country that support Lula, were very happy and singing and dancing. There was a lot of dancing. So we had the sense that things were going back to normal and that Lula now was the president and that people knew they couldn't change things anymore and that they would go back to their daily lives and that things were safe again, I would say.
And then when you heard about the protests on Sunday, how surprised were you?
Completely surprised, absolutely surprised. I never imagined something like this could happen in Brazil. It was very violent. They were able to enter several of the most important government buildings here in Brasilia and completely destroy the places. But it was a barbaric thing. It was really something that you can't imagine.
How much damage did the protesters cause?
It's so sad to talk about this. I went yesterday to the presidential palace. First, it's a very nice, beautiful building with large windows, glass windows, and they were almost all broken. And also on the first floor, you have a gallery of pictures of presidents. And there were no pictures anymore. I think there was one name left without a picture and everything was gone. The next day at 6:30 a.m., I went to the place, to the military base where the Bolsonaro supporters were. And it was very tense when I got there because there were like hundreds of military police and army people there.
Some of the protesters Luciana spoke to blamed the rioting on left-wing infiltrators. Many said they feared that under Lula, Brazil would become a communist country.
A guy started even crying, like he was very emotional because he worked a lot all his life. That's what he told me, to buy 2 houses and 2 cars that he wanted to leave for his grown-up children. He has 3 grown-up children, and he thinks that he's going to lose everything, that the government's going to take away things from the people. I mean, there's no evidence. Lula has never said anything like this, and no official has said anything like this, but that's what they believe.
In the U.S., looking at what happened Sunday in Brazil, it's hard not to think of January 6th in Washington, D.C. Do Brazilians see that?
I asked many if there was a parallel. Many of the people who were there on Sunday that I met yesterday morning, and they said, no, this has nothing to do. But I said, we're not too inspired or because you saw on TV. And they say, no, it has nothing to do with that. And I asked different people, and they all had the same answer. Hard to think that this is completely true, right? Because it's so similar. But when you ask them, that's the answer. No, there's nothing to do with what happened in the U.S.
And for Brazil's new president, these protests could undermine his agenda. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Workday. Get the whole band together with Workday and pair finance and HR on one platform for an epic performance. With Workday AI at the core, you'll make confident decisions faster than ever, and you'll drive flawless business and finance operations with an agile platform that constantly evolves to future-proof your organization. Be a finance and HR rockstar with Workday. Visit workday.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Canva. It's time to ditch your old presentation programs at work and try Canva Presentations instead. It'll help you create stunning slides in no time. No design experience needed. Just start with one of the designer-made templates or generate something in seconds with AI. Then polish it up and get ready to wow your audience. It's that easy. Nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Design for work. Tap the banner to learn more.
Luciana says this weekend's riots were fueled by a cycle of online propaganda and misinformation. But she also says they highlight deeper issues in Brazilian society.
The country has never been as divided as now. We can see by the numbers, when we see that it was such a close election, half of the Brazilians who can vote voted for Bolsonaro. And this reflects not only in politics, but on daily lives of people, like their families who have broken up, groups of families that are not talking to each other. Somebody left the WhatsApp group of the family because can't stand. And people are not very accepting of other ideas, because people who voted for Bolsonaro think that Lula is going to take away what they earned and they don't like it. People who voted for Lula feel, especially now after the election, many people feel like bad that Bolsonaro didn't say anything. And by not saying anything, he might have incited people to be more aggressive. So yes, we live in a very divided country right now. And Lula knows that, and he has been, several of his speeches he has said, like, he understands that he needs to unite the country, because he is now going to govern not for the people who vote, only for the people who voted for him, but for 220 million Brazilians. So he understands that this is a big challenge.
But some of Lula's policies are divisive. He's made it harder for Brazilians to get guns. He's vowing to limit development in the Amazon rainforest. And he wants to increase spending to help Brazil's poor. Will these protests make it more difficult for Lula to pursue his agenda?
I think so. It's already a big distraction, right? He should be, like, dealing with other problems, and the whole country has stopped to deal with this destruction and safety. So this already is taking the focus away from other things and making him have to deal with army and have to deal with police. And so this is already a problem now. And these people who are not happy that Lula is president and who want the military to take over, many, I believe, and have told me they're not going to give up. So, yes, I think this will be a problem for him.
What has Lula said that he will do to prevent future actions like this?
He was on TV yesterday. Of course, this is all unfolding as we speak. But what Lula has been saying and other government officials are echoing is that they are now invested in finding who has financed those people and who is financing those protests. Yesterday, one of the people that I spoke to admitted that he didn't have money. He even showed me how much he had on his pocket. It was less than $40, something like this. And he told me that people in his town, businessmen, were financing the trip. And this is precisely what police and the Justice Department is now investigating. So what Lula has been saying is this is going to be investigated, and the people who are behind this are going to be prosecuted and have to respond for their acts.
How destabilizing have these protests been? for the country? How shaken are people?
Completely. This kind of acts of destruction, people entering private government buildings, putting bombs on trucks, destroying. Just a few weeks ago, some of those people burned buses and cars in Brasilia. This is all new to Brazilians. I was in New York when September 11th happened. So I remember it was the first time that I felt, oh, this is a real risk. And I think people who live in Brazil and who were not there are having the same feeling. Oh, now I have to deal with this new thing that I had never, ever had to think about.
That's all for today, Tuesday, January 10th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Samantha Pearson. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.